Well, family, the question I have for us this morning is this. We started out the season with Mr. Evans telling all of us to try to have the best Passover ever. And the question I have for us, are we having or did we have the best season ever? And only you can answer that question. Tonight at sunset, this year's spring holy day will come to an end. Was it our best? Did we give it our absolute best? Did we give it our all? What have we learned from this week? What have we learned from the Passover? We spent 7 days making sure that we did not eat any leavened bread. And we also made for sure that there was no leavening within our dwellings. But at sunset tonight, guess what? We can all relax. You can wake up in the morning, and many of you probably won't be able to do this in the morning, because if you did, then you're going to tell on yourselves. But you can wake up in the morning and have a biscuit or a bagel. Or for lunch, have that pastrami sandwich that you've been missing all week. Or at dinner, those hot butter rolls that we enjoy so much. But family, it wasn't about the bread. What about the sin? What about the sin that God wanted us to focus our attention on? We were to be unleavened for 7 days, putting sin out of our lives. But if we only focused on not eating leavening this week, then we missed the true point of this exercise that God gave us. Join me in Matthew 16 and verse 11. The disciples had a misunderstanding themselves when Christ was talking to them and explaining to them something about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He says, now when his disciples had come on the other side, let's start in verse 5. Matthew 16, let's start in verse 5. Now when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have not taken any bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said unto them, O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have not brought bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, or how many baskets you took up, nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets you took up? You see, what he was saying to them was, this is not about bread. Because if it was, as he reminds them, I would have taken care of that for you, and you don't have to worry about that. How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread? But beware of leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leavened bread, but to beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. He was talking about the lives of these individuals, how puffed up they are, how arrogant they are, how righteous and self-righteous they are. And he's telling us, this is not the way I want you to be. He said to the disciples, I want you to be aware of them so that you don't get caught up in their doings, in their way of life. During this past week, our character was tested. Many of us were tested in ways that we've been tested before. The question here is, did you pass the test? Did you pass the test? Was it harder this time not to sin than before? You see, during the Passover service, we were reminded of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for you and for me. It was a great sacrifice. Mr. White mentioned in the offertory, if the sacrifice doesn't hurt, it's not worthy. And yet, we were worthy to him, Jesus Christ, who died for you and me. He had us on his mind, and he did this that we may have the opportunities that we have today. So during the Passover, we were reminded of the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. We learned why Jesus was teaching us humility through the foot washing service. And we were reminded of the importance of that bread and that wine. When we had eaten the bread and drank the wine from the cup, we discern the Lord's body until he returns. And at this point, family, at this point, we allow Jesus Christ once again to dwell within us as we, each one of us personally, accepted that sacrifice. We accepted that sacrifice. We acknowledge what Christ did for us. Even though being ashamed and feeling like we weren't worthy of it, Christ did it because he loves us. And we have a special part in his plan. The day after the Passover was a night to be much observed. A very special night to God. And a very special night to his people. Because this is the night that God led his people out of slavery, out of bondage. He set them free. And as God sat and watched, kept vigil, observing his people leaving. Exodus 12 and verse 40 shows us that on that night, after being 430 years in slavery under the hands of the Egyptian, on this night, God set his people free. Verse 42 of Exodus 12 shows us that this night was a solemn night of observance to the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is the night of the Lord, a solemn observance for all the children of Israel throughout their generations. He delivered them from that bondage and from the slavery. And yet for you and me today, Jesus Christ died so that he may free us from the sins that we have committed, the sins that have enslaved us, the sins that have held us and kept us captive and in bondage and in slavery. Exodus 13, verse 3. Moses said to the people, "Remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for the strength of the hand of the Lord brought you out of this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. On this day, you're going out on the month of Abib. And it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he swore to your father, to give you a land flowing with milk and honey, that you shall keep this service in this month. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. And on the seventh day, it shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days, and no leavened bread shall be seen among you." In verse 8, it says, "And you shall tell your son in that day, saying, 'This is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt.' And it shall be a sign to you on your hand and a memorial between your eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand the Lord brought you out of Egypt. You shall therefore keep this ordinance in the seasons from year to year. We shall sit down and we shall teach our children about this night that we observed, the night of coming out of sin, the night of coming out of slavery, the night of coming out of bondage. This is the night that God delivered his people. It's the same night, family, that we also had that great and wonderful opportunity to be forgiven of the sins that have enslaved us. The title for this message this morning is, "We Can't Turn Back." We can't turn back. Our focus is going to be on the lessons God wants us to learn as he works to keep us moving forward. One of the things that stays in the forefront of my mind at all times is the fact that the kingdom of God is not behind us. It's in front of us. And Jesus Christ is leading his church that way. Today we have the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we have willingly accepted his sacrifice in order for us to move forward. We know that we don't deserve all that he has done, but he has given his life for you and for me. And that we may understand the freedoms and privileges that he has given to us today. You know, the night to be much observed, it was a very enjoyable evening with many of you who were there. It was really great. It was fantastic. And something very interesting happened at the table that I was sitting at. And it was something that stayed on my mind all evening. And what that interesting topic was about the journey that each of us in the church have had over the years. And so those sitting at that table, we talked about on this journey how we have had to separate ourselves from friends and family members and fellowship with others who said they believe as we believe. And what kept this so interesting to me is on this night to be much observed, it's a night of coming out. It was a night that God delivered his people out. And as I listened to the conversations shared by those at the table and the conversation in the comments that I made, we all had the same common thread. It was very inspiring to me. I don't know that it was inspiring to others, but I think it was. But it was very inspiring to me because all of us sitting at that table and everyone else sitting in that room, we all had one common thread that we shared that night. And that common thread is found in John 10, verses 27 and verses 28, where Jesus Christ says, "My sheep, they follow me. They know my voice." And as I listened and went back and kind of brought back the conversations that we were having, this is what I saw. See, we felt like, oh, we were kicked out, or we were asked to leave, or we just walked on our own. But what we were actually doing was following the one who is the head of the church, and that is Jesus Christ. That's who we were following. That's what we were doing. And it was inspiring to me because of the night that we were keeping, the night to be much observed. And also on that night, it was the beginning of that first day of unleavened bread. As we continue the journey and the instructions and the command to put sin out of our lives. This took work. It took effort. We started back in February talking about things that we need to look at within our lives in preparation for the Passover so that it could be the best Passover ever. And yet here the days of unleavened bread are, they provide us with the opportunity to continue to do all that we have worked so hard to do. And that is to identify the sins within our lives, the sins that were lodged deep within our heart, and to put those sins out, bring them up to the surface, and ask God for forgiveness, and ask God for mercy, and ask God for help. Because in order for us to continue to move forward, we have to have his help. We cannot do it on our own. We have tried. We have failed. And we need God's help in order to continue to move forward. We cannot, family, turn back. We have nothing to go back to. We have to keep moving forward. Or as my grandmother would say, we have to keep on keeping on. Another old saying, but it resonates very deeply within my heart still. So let's be reminded, family, of what sin is. We know, but let's just be reminded. The young people here have asked me and shared with me some of their thoughts and desires. And one of the things they asked me to do is, when you say we know something, don't assume we know. We're learning. So can you tell us what it is that we're supposed to know or that you think we know. And I appreciate that because of the fact that that's very important. It's very important to pick up the pieces of the puzzle of things that we were taught and things we were reminded of, and we forget sometimes that there are those sitting here that don't know. And we assume. So we're not going to do that today. And I thank you all very much for bringing that to my attention, because it's important that the messages that God gives us to bring, that message can be received by all, and that message can be understood by all. So let's be reminded of what sin is. 1 John 3 and verse 4 reminds us that whoever commits sin transgresses against the law. What law? The laws of God, the commandments of God. And when we are in direct disobedience to God's laws, then guess what we have done? We have turned back. Because, see, there's only two ways that we can live our lives. That's God's way or our way. If we live our lives our way, there's another God that's involved in our lives. And that God is called Satan, the devil, the prince of darkness. God has delivered us out of Egypt. Jesus Christ died so that we can be forgiven and have the opportunities that we have today. And yet, we throw it all away and go back? You know, again, going back to that conversation at the table, I don't think any of us at that table had a desire to go backwards. We learned the lessons. We saw the mistakes. And they weren't going to change. So we were not going to continue to dwell with those that were not following Christ. And yet, Christ says, my sheep, they know me. They hear my voice. They follow me. And family, that's what you and I must continue to do in moving forward. We must follow the voice of our shepherd and let him continue to guide and direct our lives in moving forward. Those sins that we ask God to forgive us of, trust me and believe me when I say the challenge is coming back. You're going to be tested. I'm going to be tested to see if we're going to hold on to that sacrifice that was made on our behalf. You know, there was a thought that kept coming over and over in my mind, and it kept troubling me. The more I thought about it, the more it troubled me. Every time I thought about, you know, we have a choice. It's either to serve God or serve Satan. Those are the only two choices we have. We think if we're doing stuff our own, no, we're not. You're going to serve a God. Now, God says you can't serve two masters. So what are you going to do? But there was this thought that kept coming over and over in my mind. And it really stuck because now it makes me not want to go back. And that is, if we choose to turn back to the way of sin, to Satan's way of living, which is totally against God, and he can pull us away from God. He can tear us away from God. And we follow him, guess what happens? We have allowed ourselves to be pimped by Satan the devil. He's pimping us to do his bid. He's pimping us to do his will. That sounds a little crude. Sounds a little harsh. But it has a lot of truth to it. Because if we're not following Christ, then we're doing his business. We're doing his will and not God's. And so in realizing this, family, this is not the life we want. This is not the direction we want to take. We cannot turn back. We can't turn back. We have to keep moving forward. Jesus Christ was trying to explain this to the Jews. He was trying to explain to them about being in bondage, being in slavery. Join me in John 8, verse 31. John 8 and verse 31. In verse 31 of John 8, Jesus Christ said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendant and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Jesus Christ has made that possible through the sacrifice that he gave. He gave himself as a living sacrifice so that we would have the opportunities that we have today. And family, when you stop and you go back and you think about that great sacrifice, how can you turn around and go back? How can we do that? Realizing and knowing and understanding what Christ suffered for us, and that he did all these things because of the fact that he loves us. He loves us very much, that he sacrificed us so that we would have the freedom of living a life without sin. But it takes work on our part. How can you turn back? Why would you turn back? Let's pick up an account in Exodus 14. An account that we are familiar with, but an account that we want to go back and take a look at again. Exodus 14. This is where the children of Israel were being led out of Egypt. Verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, that they turn their camps, and they go in the direction that God wants them to go, towards the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has them closed in. You see, when Pharaoh is looking at the direction that God is leading them, he thinks that they're being led to their doom. That's what he thinks. But what Pharaoh doesn't know is he was following the course in which God wanted him to follow as well. Bewildered by the land, the wilderness had them closed in. Verse 4, then I will harden Pharaoh's heart, God says, so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all of his armies, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord, that they will know that their God is God. You see what happens, family, when we keep moving forward and we keep putting God first above all things and we trust him to lead and guide our lives, he will take care of the things that we can't take care of ourselves. Now, the Egyptians thought, ha ha, I got them. I've got them. They're going to be trapped, and I will go and I will conquer. Verse 5. Now it was told to the king of Egypt that the people had fled. The heart of Pharaoh and his servants were turned against the people. And they said, we have done this. We have let Israel go from serving us. So he made ready his chariots, and he took his people with him. Also, he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh's, his horsemen and his army. They overtook them camping by the sea. Well, you see, Pharaoh and his men were playing right into the hands of God. And this is what God will do for us if we trust him and continue to move forward. You see, we can't go back. There's nothing in Egypt to go back to. So we have to keep moving forward. And when we find ourselves in these positions where things look a little tough and we don't know exactly what to do, we have to depend on God. And we have to focus our attention on what his will is for us. And God's will for us is to learn from these days of unleavened bread, of putting sin out of our lives. The bread represents Sin. Being puffed up. The yeast and all the other ingredients that are put in the bread to make that bread rise. God does not want us puffed up. And he doesn't want us to think that, hey, we did this ourselves. We did this on our own. Can you imagine today what would happen if God started leading people out, people who call themselves Christians and who are following Christ? You know what the attitude of the people will be? Just look at the television. What do you think the young people will be doing when they find out that they're free? You know, we're being led out. I'm free. Yeah, Pharaoh, you take this. We're out here. That's not the attitude that God wants us to have. But that will be the attitude of the people. They would think that, oh, you know, hey, we're gone. You know, we're taking this, we're taking that. And by the way, you know, no, that's not what God wants. See, he was teaching us humility, to be humble, and to allow him to teach Pharaoh a lesson. Verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. And behold, the Egyptians marched after them, so that they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, you have taken us here to die in the wilderness? Out of all that you've just witnessed, doubt comes back on the scene. You led us out here to die. Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up and out of Egypt? Is this not the word that you told in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may go and serve the Egyptians? They want to go turn back, for it would be better for us to go back and serve the Egyptians than to die out here in the wilderness. They lost focus. They became afraid. Mistakes were made here. And the same thing happens in our lives today. We make mistakes. And we're going to make some mistakes within the weeks and months to come. But we don't throw our hands up and give up. And we don't say, well, it'd be better if I just go back and serve them. That is not what Christ died for. And family, we have to realize that, know that, and accept that. We accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And we said, we're going to follow you and we're going to keep moving forward. This is what we agreed to. And so because of that agreement, we cannot turn and go back. But yet here were the children of Israel with doubt that they were going to fail and the Egyptians were going to slaughter them at the sea. And so what did Moses do? Moses went to God, and God says, gave Moses these instructions. He says, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you this day. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And while we're waiting on God to fight for us daily, let him fight that battle for us. You know, I talked about a few months ago, telling the wives, learn how to duck, to do this duck dance. You know, when they're having problems with their husbands, take it to God, pray to God, and then get out of God's way. Don't get back in the way. Because Jesus Christ is the head of that man. And yet, when we have a problem, all we have to do is go to Christ. Now, maybe, just like the case in Mark with Martha and Mary, and maybe Christ will begin to deal with you in order to better deal with your husband. And so you've got to be careful what you pray to God and ask God for. Because he's not only looking at the husband, he's looking at you as well. And so in realizing this and understanding this, we learn and we know that Christ will fight for us. But all we have to do is hold our peace. All we have to do is be still and know that he is God, and he is going to deliver us. God does not want us puffed up. He doesn't want us feeling arrogant. He doesn't want us feeling like all these things that are happening and that are going well as we move forward, we are doing this on our own. No, we're not. And God has a unique way of letting us know real quick who's in charge here. But these aren't the servants that God wants us to be. God wants us to be humble. He wants us to learn the lessons through these days that will help teach the world tomorrow how to properly live and have that proper respect and love for God. They wanted to go back. They thought Moses led them out in the wilderness to die. And yet God had to show them what he was doing. He was leading the enemy to destroy them so that he could move God's people forward. And that's what God did. He protected Israel. Now, through all that God had done and everything that they saw with their own eyes, you would think that that would have been the end of Israel doubting God and what God can do. But we know better than that, because as the story goes on, they continue to doubt. They kept griping and complaining and wanting to go back. You have nothing to go back to. We have nothing, family, to go back to. God has delivered us, and he is moving us forward. And all we have to do is hold on to the reins and allow him to keep moving us forward. When we turn our eyes off of God, family, we become leavened. When we take our eyes off of him, we become leavened. We begin to do things our way, not God's way anymore. We don't trust God. We don't like the direction that God is leading us. This looks too difficult. This looks hard. God doesn't always lead us down that safe and smooth path. He leads us around the mountains. You know, one of the lessons I learned moving down here in Tennessee is this. Don't trust your GPS. I'm from an area in Indiana that if a road continues going forward, even if there's a curve, the road will continue going forward on the other side of the curve. Not here in Tennessee. If it leads me this way, I'm seeing this mountain and I'm visualizing the mountain not being there, and that there's a curve going around the mountain, and I can pick this road up on the other side. I ended up in a whole different county, miles and miles away from where I was heading. So I have learned not to trust the GPS. I have learned to understand and know how the roads here in Tennessee work. There are mountains down here. And yet, the mountains can deceive you and lead you astray. But you know, family, God does not want us puffed up. And as we continue to move forward past this evening, I hope that we are not excited about getting back out here and doing our thing. I hope that we're going to take all that we have learned this season and begin to build on it. Learn from the mistakes that we've made, the mistakes that we've asked God to forgive us for, and don't make those mistakes again. And if we find ourselves making that mistake, don't hold on to it. Let's deal with it then. Get rid of it now. Let's go to our knees and ask God for forgiveness. Let's repent of it. Let's not let it keep piling up and piling up throughout the year, that when we come down now, a month or so before the Passover, we got a big pile of mess to deal with. That's not what God wants for his people. What he wants for you and me is to know that he is there, and he is there for us, and he's going to be there with us. He will continue to guide us. He will be a lamp unto our feet, as David says. He will light up the paths that we should take. And sometimes those paths that we take, we're not too sure. But don't trust your own selves. Don't trust your own understanding. He is showing us that we need to trust him. And family, we can't turn back. Christ told us in Luke 17, verse 32, he said, remember Lot's wife. He said, remember Lot's wife. Why did Christ tell us to remember Lot's wife? You know, here is an interesting story of a family. Abraham bargained and pleaded with God not to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, if you know, if you find any righteous there, would you not destroy the city? And when you go back and you read that account, you'll see where Abraham was bargaining back and forth with God. How about if there was 10? Or how about if there was 20? You know, would you still destroy the city? Well, God said, okay, you know, I'll hold up on destroying the city if they're there. But yet, what Abraham was getting at, and God knew what Abraham was doing, he wanted to save his nephew and his family. But yet, this story is very interesting. And Christ tells us here to remember Lot's wife. So let's go over to Genesis 19. Let's go over to Genesis 19 and let's just take a look at, and starting at verse 12 of Genesis 19. Here is Lot. The angels were asking him, is there anybody else here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place. For we will destroy this place because of the atrocities against them. It has grown so great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out, and he spoke to his son-in-laws, verse 14. He spoke to his son-in-laws, who had married his daughters, and said, get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But his son-in-laws thought it was a joke, and they didn't do it. Verse 16, here's the interesting thing. Well, verse 15, when the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you are consumed in the punishment of the city. And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hands, and his daughter's hands. You know, the amazing thing here is, they literally had to drag them out to save them. Literally. They were told, the city is going to be destroyed. But they were holding on. For what? For what? The Lord being merciful to him, they brought him out and set him aside of the city. So it came to pass when they had brought him outside, he said, escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. Of course, that was a very stern warning that they gave them. And so in verse 25, he overthrew those cities, all of the plains, and the inhabitants of the city, and what grew on the ground. But what happened? Lot's wife was holding on to something. She turned and she looked back. Here's another example of God saying, when I deliver you out of something, you can't go back to it. You cannot go back. Don't look back. Don't turn back. You can't go back. But she looked back, and what happened? God kept his word. She was turned into a pillar of salt. You know, one of the great things I enjoy about driving a semi is this. All the mirrors in front of you. You don't have a rear view mirror inside. If you did, all you're going to see is your bunk laying back there. You have to count on what's to your left and to your right and knowing and understanding what's going on around you. The only time we look back is to back that thing up. But that vehicle moves forward. And yet, family, this is what God wants us to do. We have to continue to move forward. But as we move forward, we have to do like Mr. Grove said. We have to pay attention to the signs. We have to pay attention to the signs. The signs are there warning us and telling us what we need to do. But sometimes, family, we get stubborn in setting our ways of doing things. And we do it our way. And when we do it our way, guess what? We have taken our eyes off of God. We're driving the bus. And we're doing it our way. Who was it? Frank Sinatra said it better in a song. You know what? I did it my way. I'd sing it for you, but I don't have a voice right now. I wouldn't do it on the Sabbath for you anyway. But he said, I did it my way. Out of everything that I did it my way. And he's proud of the fact that he did it his way. Family, I am not proud of anything that I've done my way. I am proud of the things that I can see and prove that I acknowledge God and allow God to lead me. And I know that you have the same stories in your lives as well. When we go over to Romans 6, in Romans 6, we're told to not allow sin to have dominion over you. When you have a chance to sit down and read that chapter, he talks about being a slave to sin, but yet God wants us to be a slave to his way of life. A life that he has for you and for me that is far better than any life than we can ever imagine. Don't be a slave to sin, family. This is what God was teaching us during these days of leavened bread. He brought us out of sin. And through these two examples, he showed us what happens when you turn around and you want to go back to Egypt. Why would you want to go back and be a slave? Why would you want to live under the hands of those taskmasters who did not love you, didn't care for you, who beat you, who whipped you, who spat upon you, who treated you like you were nothing? Why would you want to go back to that? Why would you like to go back to the heartache and the pain that you suffered prior to the Passover? Why would you want to even relive those moments again when you spent so much time asking God for forgiveness and for mercy? And God forgave. He did it willingly. Jesus Christ died willingly for you and for me. And as we move forward, we have to move forward with the understanding that he has freed us from slavery. We can't allow our heart to guide and direct us because we learned prior to the Passover that Jeremiah said that the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can trust it? We have to put our faith and trust in the one who has saved us, who has freed us from sin. You know, I heard it was rather encouraging. Some type of inspiring message. I forget the guy that was speaking. But he was talking about how we become slaves to our homes and our automobiles. And he was talking about the example of you lose your job. You've got a house you have to pay for. You have no money to pay for it. But we hold on to it and we struggle with it and we struggle with it and we struggle with it. We can't sleep at night. He says, why would you allow that to enslave you, causing you to lose sleep? Your whole life is stressed out when all you got to do is let it go. Put it up for sale. Get rid of it. But if you can no longer afford it, why do we struggle with these things? He said the same thing about an automobile. He said the same thing about people that we shouldn't even have in our lives, but yet we keep bringing those people back, and God keeps showing a way to get them out of our lives, but we go back, dig them back up again, and think we're supposed to do something else with them. No, we weren't. You know, we've done all that we can do, and if they haven't learned anything, all they're going to do is continue to drain you. And that's not what God wants for us. That is not what he wants for us. He wants us to learn during this period of time, family, to trust him in the direction that he is guiding and leading us. He wants us to keep our eyes looking forward, not looking backwards. He doesn't want us to turn back to Egypt, our old way of living. He wants us to keep moving forward. And so, family, we have to ask God for help. We have to have this daily walk with him, as we did during this week. We have to find ways where we are allowing God to talk more to us than we are to him. You know, we talked about this before. How much time do we actually spend listening to God versus us doing all the talking? We talk a lot to God. God hears a lot from us. But how much are we taking from him? How much are we learning from him? How do we learn from him? We learn by keeping our head and our eyes focused on his word. Because, see, God has the opportunity to speak to us through his word. He has the opportunity to speak to us through others who have their head in the word. He had the opportunity to work within each one of us to be able to be of an encouragement to one another as we go through different trials and difficulties. He uses us as iron sharpening iron to keep us focused, to keep us encouraged, to help us to keep our head up. But we have to be listening to him through others. Sometimes he brings people along that we don't know anything about, and they have a message for us. Do we listen? Or do we begin to doubt? I've shared stories with you about people that just I don't even know anything about, don't even know. Come up telling me things that, you know, who are you to tell me this? And yet, who was the one that sent the messenger? You know, we talked about entertaining angels. You know, God has a way of getting our attention. We pray and we ask God constantly for things, and yet sometimes God has answered that prayer and we haven't took notice of it. Why? Because he didn't answer the way we wanted him to answer it. You know, God, I was expecting it this way. Well, that was just great and wonderful. You know, it kind of reminds me of the old story that I heard when I was a kid. It was about the town that was flooding. And the sheriffs went through the town telling everyone they had to leave because the town was flooding. Said the levee was going to break and the whole city was going to flood. Except for this one man who stayed in his house. He stayed in his house and he prayed. He says, I'm going to stay here because God's going to protect me. God's going to rescue me. And so the waters filled up the first floor of his house. So he moved up to the second floor of the house. And so there was a boat that came by and they told the man, come on, leave, jump in the boat. He says, no, I'm going to stay because God's going to protect me. The man now is on the rooftop of his house. His house is completely flooded. There was a helicopter that came overhead and the loudspeaker says, grab a hold of the ladder, climb up. He says, no, God is going to protect me. God's going to save me. And the voice says, you have to get on the ladder. You're going to drown. That's okay. God's going to save me. And then the man drowned. And then the story goes on where this man wanted to know why God allowed him to drown. Why God didn't save him. And the answer was simple. I sent you a boat. I sent you a helicopter. What more did you need? And sometimes that's how we are. We look at the individuals bringing the message to us and we kind of turn our head a little bit. But do we just stop and listen to the message? What's the message? It's the answer for what you've been praying for. But you didn't particularly care for the person who delivered the message. And so guess what? You missed the boat. You missed the helicopter. You missed out on what you asked God for. We cannot turn back, family. We have to keep our eyes focused and moving forward. How do we keep from turning back, going back to our old way of living, going back to sin? How do we do this? By understanding the effects of sin, how it affects us and how it affects God. And being reminded daily that sin is a transgression of the laws of God, as he tells us in 1 John 3 and verse 4. How do we keep from turning back and going back into sin? By keeping our feet and our eyes forward. By obeying the commandments, the laws, and the statutes of God. By having that daily walk with God and our eyes in his word and allowing him to communicate to us daily as we also share in that communication. How do we keep from turning back? In knowing that we can only serve one master. We cannot serve two masters. We're either going to love one or we're going to hate the other. How do we keep from turning back? In realizing that Satan does not love us. He doesn't care for us. And like I said, it may sound crude or harsh, but all Satan wants to do is to pimp us, to do his bidding, to do his will, to do his work. Having no regard, no care whatsoever about Jesus Christ and God the Father. He wins if we allow ourselves to go back to that old way of life He wins if we go back to the old man that was buried at baptism. He wins and we lose. We lose out on the only day of salvation that God is giving us today. Family, we have to strive every day to keep moving forward, to keep putting the sin out of our lives, and to learn the lessons from those sins, and to be able to be a witness and an example to others of moving forward, and allowing God to show those around you that your God is God, allowing them to be encouraged and inspired because of your faith and your belief and your trust in God. People are watching you and me on a daily basis. They're watching us move forward. They don't see us slipping backwards. They don't see us running back to Egypt. You're still going. How are you doing? Still moving forward. How are you doing? Just keeping on, keeping on. That's how we do it. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6. He says, your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little yeast or a little leaven leavens the whole batch? A little sin, family, brings on a lot of trouble for you and me. Get rid of the old yeast so that you may be a new unleavened batch as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the festival, not with old bread of leaven, with malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And on a daily basis, 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, you don't have to turn there, but examine ourselves daily as to whether or not we are in the faith. This is what we have to do in order to keep moving forward. We can't turn back. There is no reverse on us. It's forward. It's upward. It's onward. And it's moving forward towards God's kingdom. We are God's people. We are the ones that Jesus Christ made that sacrifice for. But as he did for all of mankind. But we are the ones that have accepted his death and that sacrifice so that we may be able to live and to move forward and to know the things that he wants us to know. He has given us a great blessing and many opportunities, family. Why will we turn back? Why will we go backwards when so much is waiting on us as we move forward? We can't turn back. There's nothing there for us. So, family, I hope that when this season ends tonight at sunset, that we will keep in our minds and our hearts the lessons that we have learned during this feast. Because for this feast to be the best feast ever, it will show in the next year's feast to come. Because you will have a different story to tell. We'll have a different story to share at the table at the Night to be Much Observed. And we will continue to talk about how we have overcome sin and how we have overcome many adversities that we have in our lives because we have let go and we have allowed God to be the direction, to be the guide in our lives. We're doing his will, not the will of Satan, not our will, but his will. We're following in the footsteps of our elder brother, Jesus Christ, when he came and he told us that he is not here to do his own will, but he is there and here to do the will of the Father. And so yet, family, we have that same opportunity to do the same thing. Let us take full advantage of it. Let us grow in love and in grace and in understanding daily when it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to the examples that he gives us. He says, my will is not to harm you, but to profit you, to bless you. Jesus Christ died that we may live. Let's take advantage. Let's take full advantage of that sacrifice that was made for you and me because he wants us to. So let us not end these days at sunset. Let us continue the journey.